let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Acclaimed author William Gabriel was born in Los Angeles, California in 1958. He first read Asimov's Foundation Trilogy when he was 17, started to search for methods of applying psychodynamic thought. At 27, he first started writing science fiction, reached the million-word mark in 1998. At 31, he tried out for and qualified as a Special Forces soldier in 1990, and spent the next decade serving on A-teams and was a peacekeeper in Haiti in 1996. He went on to serve in B-team and C-team elements. He studied international studies at the University of Arkansas at Little Rock in 2010, moved back to California, where he graduated from the University of California at Riverside on the Chancellor's Honor List with a degree in global studies. After 3 decades of writing, he published his first science fiction work in 2013. He now has 3 books in print that we'll talk about: Bet Song, 21st Century Crusader, and Women in Wars of the Future. And author William Gabriel joins us on This Week in America. William, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
It's good to be here.
We had a lot to talk about. You've done such an excellent job in these 3 books. Let's start with Beth Song. This is an adventure-driven science fiction thriller that has receiving excellent reviews. Tell me a little bit about Beth Song.
Well, it's set in the far-flung future. Basically, it's a ranching family at the periphery of the Empire of Man. They are on a secluded planet revolving around a binary system. And what has happened is there's actually a sentient race that has also found this planet and is on the periphery of their empire. So it's the interaction of humans and an alien culture that's it's not endemic, it's not prolific, but very low-keyed. And the main object is, for both of them, is integration into each other's sphere of influence. The planet itself was used as a prison planet by the Empire of Man, and the latency of the prisoners causes a great disruption in the small colony of humans on that planet. And it's set in a Christian background. Basically, it's a church-going human culture, and they have to actually show themselves towards the aliens as being a positive influence for the future.
This is the first book that we're talking about by William Beth Song. Book available at books.gotopublish.com. I'll give you that throughout the program. Information on our website, and we'll talk about book availability as we progress in our conversation. William, why is the aliens' perception so important?
It's just simply, we have to understand that aliens would have developed into a culture. They basically will be part of a state, much like I'm an American citizen, or there's a Russian citizen, or there's a Chinese citizen. We are all citizens of a culture that has developed. And we have to understand that a space-faring culture has got to have developed intrinsically to the point where they can have a mass of their population work together to actually reach for the stars. So that's going to imbue itself throughout the cultural fabric. And they're going to judge our culture on the merits on what we put forth as far as our interaction with them. If it's aggressive interaction, it's going to be negative. If it's positive and commercial, there's a great chance that their society would open up and actually try to work with us. But in this far-flung colony, though, we're seeing just the periphery of both the alien culture and the human culture.
You know, it's fascinating. How do aliens and humans interact at first contact? I guess we're sort of feeling each other out at this particular point in time.
Yeah, most of it's going to be subliminal. There's not going to be an overt projection of force. There's going to be an attempt to actually coexist effectively. And that is the main facet of the initial interaction between the alien and the human race. And then it puts into context the fact that humans are still in a state of conflict. Basically, the prisoners of the prison planet have broken free. There's no longer an Empire of Man presence in the orbital platforms. So they've broken free and are actually threatening the colony itself. So the aliens are going to perceive how does humanity interact. And they'll see it from both the negative and the positive aspect. That's one reason why a church-going culture might have a better chance of opening up with the aliens.
The book is called Beth's Song. The author is William Gabriel, our guest on the program. I'll give you availability as we go through the conversation here. William, how does the work allow us to reflect on today's world?
Well, the warfare that occurs on the planet of Beth's Song is an endemic aspect of our cultural interactions now in the world. We have a multipolar world in which warfare does occur. We have not grown out of that as a natural function of statehood. And we need to understand that to effectively move forward, we're going to have to resolve that issue. The aliens are going to be observing this. They're going to be interacting with us. They become immersed in our society. And they will even take sides on one side or the other in the conflict. It might not be a natural phenomenon for them, but for them to actually immerse themselves in our culture, they will be faced with this dilemma.
This book is called Beth's Song by William Gabriel, our guest on the program. You'll find it at books.gotopublish.com. And you can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, to get information on this and the other books that William has written. The second one we're talking about here, fascinating as well. This is Women in Wars of the Future, described as hard science fiction. Give us a brief sketch of what this book is about.
Well, it revolves around three women that are part of the culture of mankind as it moves out into the solar system. It's hard science fiction because I based almost all aspects of the technology involved with things that are on the drawing board today or has even been executed within our realm of understanding. There are certain things such as lasers. One of the major weapons are called electromagnetic pulse weapons. It started with the neutron bomb back in the 1980s and actually has evolved into probable space-based weapons. We have to understand that our culture is somewhat secretive about what we can do with this high-level technology. And since the 80s, phenomenon have occurred that shows that this technology is actually either being executed or is on the drawing boards.
That's what's so fascinating. As you read this, you realize this is all based on technologies, and it's a fascinating read, Women in Wars of the Future. How does mankind reach out into space? How does that happen?
It's a slow process. We are now moving forward through another apex in which we are slowly fading from national or government-oriented space exploration into where they're trying to do this in the private sector. India has also announced that its private sector within the past 3 days has designated 28 of their different corporate structures within India that will become part of their space program. The same thing with America, with SpaceX and Blue Horizon. Then you also have the state-oriented space programs, which you'll see coming out of China and out of Russia. So there's going to be a competition between what we would consider commercial and state-owned enterprises within the sphere of space exploration.
So the technologies we read about, Women in Wars of the Future, you talk about those technologies are achievable, and all of the drama that unfolds, all of the possible conflict, that sounds like that's all sort of taking place as well, isn't it? It's started already.
There's one aspect that I look at. Back in the 1980s with the shuttle disaster, Approximately 5 months before that disaster occurred, back in August of 1985, the Soviet Union had upgraded their space command from a two-star general to a four-star general, which meant that they were actually going to start utilizing their space-based weapon systems. They were 10 years ahead of us on the in the realm of lasers or light amplification weaponry. And consequently, there was a backlash when the shuttle disaster did actually happen. There was a red flash in the initial photography through that, which indicated a possible laser strike. And it's something that we do need to realize as a possibility, but is another basic footprint that occurred was everybody in Congress went back home to their districts. They recessed Congress in an emergency in the possibility that there might have been a nuclear confrontation between the Soviet Union and the U.S. because of the shuttle disaster.
Amazing. I'm just letting that absorb as you're telling me about that here. The book, this one, is Women in Wars of the Future. Is what you write about in this book a feasible path for human development? Is it possible this could occur?
Well, yeah, there's a major need to demilitarize space. It's going to be different than when the American colonies were set up, but a lot of the same timelines will occur. You will have people moving out into space, becoming productive individuals. The productivity in space itself will be probably 5 to 10 times that per person because of the mineral and basic metal worth within the asteroid system, the hydrocarbons on Titan. All of these things are addressed within the novel with technologies that are feasible even today. So consequently, travel, movement, it's all got to be regulated in such a fashion that as little destruction can occur within the realm of space. Because it's such a fragile environment. It's so easy to destroy things in space, whereas if something's destroyed on the ground, within 20 years it can be rebuilt. But in space, once you destroy something, it usually takes decades, if not centuries, to actually rebuild within that environment.
As we think about expansion into space, it's something we hear more and more about. You write it in all of your books. That's when Women in Wars of the Future. William Gabriel, our guest on the program, books.gotopress.com is a good place to find the book. And we'll go through, in fact, the other two as well. We'll go through all of those during the course of the interview. So as we think about expanding, how does real life expand into an interplanetary economic system in the solar system? How does that work?
Well, I've actually portrayed it as two different timelines. A country like China, whose main source of power is their manpower pool, they will probably attempt to colonize the Mars, maybe even do some terraforming. It's still debatable whether terraforming on Mars can be successful or not. So I left that up in the open, but that's not really part of the actual storyline. The main storyline is where commercial endeavors have expanded into the interplanetary realm. You'll have petrol product refinement and utilization basically in and around Saturn, which is probably the farthest reaches that mankind will go in the near future. There's not much productivity that can occur outside of the Saturn sphere of influence. The asteroids are a main source. Understanding of how the asteroid belt can be utilized for production purposes is, how can I say it? It's developing. We're okay. Still learning about the asteroid belt. There's other things. We probably will not go towards Mercury or Venus because of the hostility of those environments and the fact that there's a gravity well. And we will find that as we move out into space, gravity wells will be a hindrance. And the major gravity well is, of course, Earth, where we have to break free from the orbital confines of the planet itself.
The books are so fascinating. Beth Song, we talked about 21st Century Crusader, is the next one coming up. And Women in Wars of the Future, we just talked about. William, I'm saying go to books.gotopublish.com. Is that the best place to get information and order your books?
Yeah, right now that they have just now come into publication through GoTo Publishing. Also, Amazon.com, they should have those sites up in about 2 weeks. As far as 21st Century Crusader, there will be more proceeds from royalties that go into that if you actually go to GoTo Publish. And those proceeds will also go into a scholarship fund for development of psychodynamics.
That's perfect. So GoToPublish.com is the preferred place to go. You'll find it very soon at Amazon as well. 21st Century Crusader. This is interesting. It's described as an easy-to-read textbook. Tell us about this and the concept behind this. And I understand when you started a dissertation project that the outline for this came about.
Yeah, basically it's a formulation of all of the different facets that have been groundbreaking in the past. You go with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which is a very foundational business psychology. You can actually integrate that with what they call cognitive therapy, which is a psychology field which is literally 30 to 40 years old now, that bases itself in the reactive mind of a person. Now, what I've done within 21st Century Crusader is I've described numerous fields that have been developed and integrated it with the possibility that we can portend culture, what will happen on the cultural swing of things. Who's going to win? I'm going to start giving examples. In China, there is a great upswelling that's occurring because there's probably about 100 million bachelors within China that cannot find a mate because of the one-child policy that occurred for nearly 30 years. Now, what we're facing because of that is an upswell, an actual cultural revolution that will occur in China, trying to give credence to the needs of these personnel. Now, we're also talking about 100 million men that could also be part of the armed forces. And this is something that Xi Jinping understands and is trying to move his entire society in the direction of acquiescing to the needs of those 100 million men. This is a cultural wave that the West is going to have to be dealing with now. And nobody's even talked about it yet. It's something that we need to understand and actually delve into to see how we can possibly utilize psychodynamics to deflect this energy yes. that's within the Chinese society that's gearing itself for war.
That is the first I've heard anything about that. That's fascinating. All of this 21st Century Crusader is the next book we're talking about, William Gabriel. What is the message of the Beatitudes?
The Beatitudes is a very important message that Jesus Christ had given mankind, and he had given it to a population that was under occupation. There's no other way to really describe it. The Roman army had a legion posted in Palestine. They basically taxed the subservient populace within Palestine itself. They had even committed genocide against a township that was approximately 4 to 10 miles from Nazareth, where Jesus grew up for, you know, a large portion of his time. 4 years into, I think it would have been about 4 years old, the entire population of this township had revolted against the Roman occupation, thrown out the tax collectors, possibly even killed them, much like what happened to us in Fallujah. And then the Romans went in and basically killed every male within that population base, and then sold off into slavery the women and children. This is definitively genocide under an occupation, and is something that we should be aware of in the Beatitudes, because it gave forth a groundwork a basis for actually having a good life, a productive life under those circumstances.
There's so much here, and time is going by so quickly. A few minutes left in the program. A couple of concepts I want to talk about from 21st century crusader. Give me a little bit on the dynamics of peacekeeping. You have been involved in nation building, peacekeeping operations. Give us a role of the dynamics of peacekeeping.
Well, there's this battle between wanting to pick up the rifle,
yes,
and fight off whoever might be occupying your country, and actually saying, well, we're going to deal with the fact that we have this superior military force that has taken over our country, but now we have to commercially uplift ourselves. And once that uplifting starts to occur, there is more skills developed within the society itself. The more skills you develop within the society that are non-combative, the greater the affluence the society will develop. We're seeing that in reverse right now in Afghanistan. This is one thing about psychodynamics. The more profitable and equitable professions that are created within a society, and the more people interacting in those professions, the greater the prosperity of the society. And the Taliban right now are relegating women to a non-professional oriented status in society, which is going to just totally destroy their economy. They're facing part of the problem, but if they don't reintegrate the women into their society, the economic contractions that they will be facing are quite great.
You talk about the subtraction of a skill set, the addition of a skill set. Briefly, what are you talking about there?
Well, this throughout history, that is what military force has been used for. Originally, military force in the military age, Middle Ages, was used to replace the ruling class. You would come in, you would basically overwhelm the enemy, and you would basically take their place as a skill set for ruling. That's the same thing that happens within any society. You want to add skill sets. You want to add different products. The more products that you add and the more skill sets that are added will lead to greater prosperity. So that is what we're looking at, and that is a peacekeeper is what you want to generate. You want to generate institutions. You want to generate structures, which is also addressed in the book itself on how to actually create these institutions to cause societies not to tend towards the rifle for resolution of conflict, but towards the entities of the institutions to diplomatically come to a successful conclusion.
The series of books that William has written, they are all excellent reads. You'll enjoy all of them. Messages in all of these as you're reading and you understand the technologies may seem far-fetched. It's all technologies that are feasible at this time. Minute or so left here. You've talked about the Veteran Scholarship Program. Exactly how does that work? And do you see this, what you just talked about, actually developing into a university field of study?
Yeah, I definitely want to try to move it into becoming a class that can be taught in the universities.
Yes.
It would be a very useful class. Right now, because I'm using a textbook format to put forward the ideas, any of the royalties from that textbook will be put into scholarship fund. We're still in negotiation phase right now because the universities do not want any investment into a curriculum that they have not authorized. So consequently, it has to go through an authorization process for the university to actually process the scholarship program. So I'm having to go on my own and actually process the scholarship program myself. I put $10,000 of my own money in for a $2,500 a year scholarship. We have it set up in a basically a nonprofit account I will probably formulate a nonprofit corporation, and then we'll make sure that those funds can be sent out to people that want to delve into this this scholastic field. And I hope that for it to develop over the next 4 to 5 years to when I retire, I can help husband it through the university system.
Well, that'd be fantastic. You've done so much. Such a brilliant writer, and just looking to the future and enlightening all of us. And you've studied this, as I said, extensively, nation building and peacekeeping operations. I wish we had more time. It's gone by way too quickly. Our guest is William Gabriel. His three books are Beth's Song, 21st Century Crusader, and Women in Wars of the Future. Best place to find them is books.gotopublish.com. And if you go to our website, you can link on directly information on the book there. All of that is there. William, a pleasure having you on the program. So much more to talk about. Hopefully we can do this again. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Best of luck with the books and working with the universities and trying to establish this as an ongoing course.
All right. It's been wonderful to talk with you.
It's a pleasure to have you with us, William Gabriel. Again, all of the books available at books.gotopublish.com. And, of course, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.